Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Panthers coach Dave Canales talking about the Patriots, Mike Vrabel, everything going on here in New England as we get ready for Sunday's matchup between the Panthers, the Patriots. As Tom Curran said, Patriots stink at home, Panthers stink on the road, so something's got to give. Good for our guy Mark Schlereth and the Fox broadcast crew. They got a heck of a game here. Although, I'll say it, you could have another really entertaining football game between two bad teams. That is a possibility on the horizon. We have a little news update that I don't know if we care about. And I'll tell you what it is before I wonder why we should care about it. Bossman Laird put in our little group text chat a tweet from Jordan Schultz, the Schultz Report. Sources, Patriots star cornerback Christian Gonzalez has made, quote, good progress, unquote, in his hamstring recovery and is likely to make his season debut Sunday versus the Panthers. Well, first of all, I think we knew that because he was at his locker and basically said he wanted to play last week and all that. But yes, Dan Ball.
Which rat did Jordan Schultz go to this time for that information?
Hopefully it's a better rat because the last rat told him he'd be ready for season opener week one. And that rat was really wrong.
Is it fair to say you're playing this Sunday?
I'm excited.
Yeah, he's excited. He's going to play. And you were wrong a month ago, Jordan Schultz, when you told me he wasn't going to miss any regular season games. So I'm not going to listen to your reports. But this is a winnable football game, like they all kind of have been to start the season. They've only won one of them. The Panthers got a weird win last week in which they didn't really play that well. But thanks to Michael Penix, were able to win the football game. Interception
shut him
return.
Out.
Yes, shut him out. 30-0. There's a lot going on here. Tet McMillan, who is their scariest offensive player, if you saw the visuals of what he physically is capable of doing, he is banged up. I'm not sure what his status will be come game time on Sunday. And that would be obviously an interesting matchup if Gonzalez is back out there, Tet McMillan versus Gonzalez. If he's not, you have a questionable quarterback with questionable receivers for a team that can't run the football. That sounds like a get-right recipe for the Patriots defense, Ted Johnson.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. You know, you look at Bryce Young, compare him to Drake May, and you go, let's see, Bryce Young, how many interceptions? He got three interceptions and one fumble. So he's got more turnovers than Drake May does. So there's an opportunity there.
Oh, great. So we're going to have a turnover battle.
There's a opportunity there to get after, you know, Bryce Young and turn that ball over. The Patriots defenders should be and coaches should be talking about Bryce Young like the Steelers defense was talking about Ramondre Stevenson and Drake May last week.
Do
you hear all the reports that all these guys, all they did was talk about how much that the two running backs and the quarterback fumble and throw the ball away? So that's, I mean, please, you got to win this game. I mean, come on, Bryce Young, He had his moments in college, but he's just never really – I mean, he flashed at the end of last year, I guess, to some degree, but it's gotten off to a slow start. They do have a running back that's outperforming any of your running backs in Chuba Hubbard, but he's what, 168 total yards in three games. So, I don't know. To me, let's go. It really shouldn't be close, but – Bryce, because I'm just not a believer in Bryce Young.
Yeah, but I'm not sure the Patriots fitsy are in this really shouldn't be close
do you think
range.
Let me ask you this. What's the quarterback, Drake May versus Bryce Young? Who do you got?
Oh, Drake May.
And it's not even close, right?
Not even close. So I mean, they benched Bryce Young last September.
So that should tell you something about this game.
And then I thought he bounced back and then I went and started to look at some of his stats, and I was like, he didn't really bounce back. He just kind of kept playing and got his job back. There wasn't this like
stinking out loud.
Yeah, he just sucked less. He sucked a little instead of sucking a lot, as Lou Maloney would say. Yes, Dan Ball.
What about the rest of the offense, though? Do you take Chuba Hubbard over the current Patriots running back room, and then do you take the Panthers wide receiver room over what the Patriots have to round out that offensive conversation?
If Tet McMillan plays, then I'll take them.
Okay.
If Tet McMillan doesn't play, then I'll take the Patriots. Yeah. Tet McMillan is looking like he's going to be the closest thing to a number one wide receiver on these two teams' depth charts. But if he's not out there, then they are Hunter Renfro and Leggett.
Leggett is also banged up. Hunter Renfro is,
permanently banged up.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard's a great up. He's got speed, but he's not. I mean, if you're just going to key in on Chuba Hubbard the whole day, then to challenge their wide receivers to beat you with an undersized quarterback, like advantage Patriots across the board.
All right, so let me ask, if Tet McMillan doesn't play, do you think the game should even be close?
No, and I don't think we should be talking about the defense having any ups and downs. If Tet McMillan doesn't play, this should be the game where you go, yeah, we expected that type of defense. We expected you to be better, accountable, consistent, all of that.
Yeah.
That's what because you're getting Christian Gonzalez back. Even if it's only 20 plays, you're talking about at least a third of the game.
And Tet McMillan, by far, he has six plays of 20 or more yards already.
Yeah, if he plays,
three games.
I'm a little worried.
And the Patriots defense cannot stop the big play.
The X play. Dan Ball loves when I use the Mike Vrabel X play term. Yeah, if he plays, then I don't know, because they have been susceptible to those big plays.
And just a side note about the Patriots defense, it is kind of interesting. You remember they were very aggressive in their blitzing and play calling in week one versus Las Vegas?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the first half, they had success against Geno Smith.
Yep.
Well, then the Raiders went in at halftime, and they made adjustments. And they came out in the second half, and Chip Kelly had a game plan to just slice through all those blitzes. They were just – Geno was killing the Patriots blitzing. And you haven't seen any exotic blitzing since that game. The last two games, very conservative game plan. So you're trying to kind of figure out, what is this identity of this defense? What do they really want to be? Maybe with Christian Gonzalez back, it'll become clear, because I feel like with him out, it was probably dictating how they called games. So we'll see.
Fitzy.
Yeah. The one thing that we're sort of overlooking in that regards, fellas, is Terrell Williams was actually there calling the defense week one, and it's been Zach Kerr. And you just can't help but wonder, like, I imagine you could probably speak most of this, Ted. Like, do you think they'd be calling safer defenses without somebody that has the knowledge and the breadth of experience that Terrell Williams does, as opposed to someone who's a bit greener in Zach Kerr?
I think it's a fair point. I mean, just, you know, Terrell Williams was there all in training camp, and they were aggressive all training camp.
Oh, yeah.
They were blitzing all the time. And so now that Terrell Williams hasn't been there the last 2 weeks, and you see a conservative game plan called, you start to wonder, man, which is weird to me, because if there's the DNA of this defense wants to be a blitzing aggressive defense, you would think it didn't matter who the signal caller was, he would call an aggressive defense.
Right. So, especially since the signal caller, the first one, Terrell Williams, is a longtime Vrabel assistant. So you'd think they would kind of be on the same page, and Vrabel would lead Zach Kerr sort of down the same road that Terrell Williams would normally. And Terrell Williams is still helping out in a consistent consultant-type role during the week, so he still has a voice there. But it is interesting. I do think they're about to kind of just go with Zach Kerr moving forward. He's going to be the play caller. There was a comment from Vrabel this week that made it sound like that was very much on the table, which will allow us to figure out some week-to-week kind of patterns, consistency, what they want to be. I would also put in there, although you'd think you'd actually blitz a little bit less without your best cornerback on the field. You'd think that would open you up to blitz a little more when you get Christian Gonzalez back.
You would think.
So we'll see how that all goes. One thing that jumped out to me was how much emphasis they are putting on special teams, because I don't know if you guys heard it. Mike Vrabel said he spent over 2 hours watching their kickoff team. Their kickoff team has a dirty kick, which is apparently some form of a knuckleball that lands in the landing zone in the field of play, but it can move really strangely. And it sounds like kickoffs for the Panthers are a bit of something to keep an eye on, a weapon that they potentially think could have a big factor in this game.
Okay.
A point of emphasis. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Something to watch.
Fun.
Yeah.
Put that on the board.
I don't know about knuckleballs on kickoffs, and I haven't seen it in person yet, or you know, with thine own eyes. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're practicing catching knuckleballs in practice all week. If that's the case, if there's a lot of film on that. I haven't seen the play you're talking about, so I can't.
Yeah, we'll see. Reminder, though, we won't talk to Jeremy Springer this week because tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons, when we are at Fenway Park, we'll be talking to Josh McDaniels.
Oof.
So we can get some of the
tough questions.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's funny. You won't be in there to ask those questions. Don't worry, we'll ask them for you. What he's doing with the running backs, how that's going to be handled. Does he have a say in that, or is that just strictly Vrabel down? Here's your guys.
What were you thinking on that 4th-and-1 play there, Josh?
I may have a different tone.
Can you walk us through that 4th-and-1 play?
That I don't mind. Josh, can you walk us through what was supposed to happen on that 4th-and-1 play?
But there's tone on that.
We're gonna workshop these.
Anything you say, you can't help it, has tone.
No, that's not true. Rich Keefe is way worse. I may have tone. Rich Keefe has tone on steroids when he asks questions. Anyway, let's get back to the Drake May stuff. I am fascinated with the evolution of Ted Johnson's views on Drake May. You were really high on him coming into the year, the offseason. Then you kind of wavered. Then you really liked what you saw in Miami. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like you're back on his bandwagon, so to speak, but not maybe as much back on the bandwagon as the rest of the world is.
It feels familiar, doesn't it? Because this is pretty much you on every take.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
So I can understand how you say that. I'm very high on him. I'm just pointing out concerns. That doesn't mean I've lost belief or trust in him or don't think he can still be a great player. But I'm pointing out things that are factual and real concerns, but that doesn't mean I have lost any belief in him.
So is this a consistent trend in the right direction? Are you feeling at least that, even if it has a couple little ups and downs? Is this like real estate?
Yep.
You know, you ever check those real estate charts on like your home value? Yeah, there's dips along the way, but in general it goes up.
He is trending. I don't think he's trending as fast as people think. Can I give you a couple examples?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, first off, the Pats' first three defenses they played all rank in the bottom half of defensive DVOA.
Yep.
So, so just to be clear, so you know Drake May, he's and I'll read you some of the things that he's top 10 in. All right. So he's top 10 in a lot of different categories, but you have to consider the competition he's playing, and so that stat I just gave kind of highlights that. Also, you have to understand that the NFL offenses are only averaging 317 yards per game. That is the lowest total since 2005.
Woo.
And the third lowest total this century. So what does that mean? That means overall just offenses are down. So if you're ranked high, it's not saying as much as it would if the offenses were performing like you thought they would perform in, right?
Yeah.
So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So there's perspective to all of this when it comes to Drake May top 10, the competition he's played, and then the competition across the board that give him those rankings are all down compared to years past.
Yeah, I think, Fitzy, the flip side of that would be, if you wanted to put everything in perspective, is first year with a new offensive coordinator, first year with a new coach, all new coaches. Questionable production from the wide receiver position. Talk about questions I want to ask Josh McDaniel. How do you get more from the receiver position? You look across the league, Fitzy, wide receivers are supposed to make a lot of plays. They're supposed to be sort of the heartbeat of the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And that just isn't really true here. So I think those are some reasons that put some of the limitations of the offense in perspective.
Yes. The fact that Drake May has chemistry with Hunter Henry. That's long since established. I would say that is his most dependable target and has a lot of passing yards to the running back room at large. And then there is a precipitous drop off. I won't call it concerning, but it's certainly something that bears watching. Like, who is the next guy? Is it Kayshon Boutte? They seem to have something going on, but it's not consistent enough. Nothing with Pop Douglas, obviously. Efton Chisholm hasn't played yet. I don't know what the hell to make of the relationship between Drake May and Stephon Diggs, off the field or especially on the field. It's just, it's there, but it's not clicking. And then Kyle Williams is an afterthought. Obviously a rookie, third rounder, but explosive. It would be nice to see him get involved in the game so they can start stretching the field. They stretch the field a little bit, maybe then they'll open things up for the running attack.
So, wait a minute. You don't think he's got a connection with Diggs or Douglas?
No, not so much. I mean, it's 12, 13 catches. They're averaging like 8-9 yards. Like, it's not like the you would expect Stephon Diggs and Drake May to click to a point where that's the first guy he looks to in trouble, in a pinch, when he needs him. And it's they're okay together, but I just don't think they're as dynamic together as I thought they would be yet.
It's I think my guess is it's just disappointing. There's just not more down the field passes to Steph Diggs because he's in the 15 targets to Diggs. He's caught 13 of them, so he's very efficient throwing to Diggs.
But it's
just not down the field. It's in the slot, which he's really pretty much what he played mostly in Houston last year. He's become really more of a slot receiver. To me, it's DeMario Douglas. I mean, 13 targets and only 5 catches. That's the one where you say they need to be more on the same page.
Yeah, I've given up on that. They don't need to be on the same page. They don't need to be on the same field.
New Yoshida.
Yeah, he's my new Yoshida. Absolutely. And the one thing I would say about Diggs, though, and small sample of 3 games, I guess, is I think the numbers are kind of inverted for a guy in his first year with a new team coming off an ACL. His numbers have gone downward over 3 weeks, even though Drake May keeps saying, I got to get him the ball more. I want to get him the ball more. I think he only had 3 targets for 3 catches last week, including being the nearest guy standing with the game on the line on 4th and 1 next to Pop Douglas while Pop Douglas is coming up short of the sticks. And I keep going back to what Brian Hoyer told us on Tuesday. Players over plays. Players over plays. So if we take that from a quarterback in the Josh McDaniels system, if you're Drake May, which players are you favoring over plays?
Like, tight ends.
Yeah.
Easily.
So it's Hunter Henry, who he did. He had a big day, right? Yep. I mean, but you have to have other guys. Who's next in line?
Hunter Henry leads the team in the receptions.
You can say it was Ramondre 2 weeks ago. But now Ramondre's fumbling. He's kind of benched. He's not part of the offense. Is it Steph Diggs that takes that next role? Is it his guy Boutte, who had the big first game? Remember, Fitzy's guy, ML Football, was aggregating that Boutte was on pace for 1,700 yards receiving or whatever that was. And he hasn't really been able to keep up that consistent pace. So players over plays, I don't know if Drake May has a lot of players. He's like, I know exactly what that guy's going to do for me with the game on the line. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So
very fair.
That's part of the balance of what is Drake May achieving right now. Like, he's improving. He's making mistakes on his own, but so's the same true for his targets.
It is interesting because you look at, did you see how many receivers he threw to? He threw to 9 different receivers, but it's like one catch. And so as much as it's impressive that he's quote-unquote spreads the ball around, he doesn't have a consistent go-to guy in critical situations, which is more important than quote-unquote spreading the ball around.
Every good quarterback has that. I'll say that I'm sure there's counter examples, a few, but for the most part, Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, went to either Edelman or Gronk in that phase, or went to Welker or Moss in that phase. Like, he had guy, or went to Branch and Givens. Like,
yeah,
you had a couple
Troy
guys.
Brown or,
right.
You know,
there were always guys that were the guys that he knew he could go to with the game on the line, and he just doesn't. Or Josh Allen with Diggs is the perfect example. Mm-hmm. I know it went south when it started to be like, oh, he wants the ball too much, but Josh Allen and the Bills blew up when he targeted Stephon Diggs, whatever, 10 or 11 times a game. That was their success. Speaking of success, this isn't great news, but we need to go to the clinch desk for an update.
What do we got?
It's not good. You're not going to like what you have to hear.
All my friends in Houston, I'd see them tweeting. They're very excited right now.
Yeah, they're having a good
John McClain.
They're having a good day right now. 5-0 Astros, top half of the 3rd inning. Not going great for JT Jin so far. 2 1/3, 4 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 2 walks, three strikeouts. It was two runs in the top half of the first, three more in the top of the second.
So that's a great story.
Astros are at bat, John McLean. Astros at bat, top half of the third, up by five. So again, it's an Astros loss or a Red Sox
win. That's right.
So we're just seeing if the Red Sox can have this wrapped up by the time first pitch happens tonight.
Right. We were hoping it might happen during our show. It's looking less likely.
We just win tonight. We're good.
Just win tonight, Bayo.
Or do it on Friday, Fenway Friday.
No. I mean, that's fine if it has to wait till Friday, but I'd rather just get it out of the way, be done with it. Yes, we'll be at Fenway tomorrow. That would be fun,
Somebody might be staying after the game and want to see it.
Around to watch a little clinching baseball. Yeah. Interesting. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, friend of the program, friend of Ted Johnson, Gary Myers, the author of Belichick vs. Brady. That is out now. You can get it on Amazon. He'll join us to talk about all things Belichick, Brady, and the Patriots, which are basically stories that never die and never go away. Gary Myers up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending, even if it's that bad stuff from Houston.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.